Speak up, shut up. So those are the three rules of public speaking there. So if you want to do the first, we welcome you to the mic.
Thank you. Good afternoon. So I'm here for two reasons today on these 66 parcels that are before you. They're all timeshare parcels.
And we're at BOE number 138.
Are you Mr. Westgate, by the way?
No. My name is Aaron Klusmeyer. I'm with Lavda Johnson out of Springfield. We represent Westgate. Like I said, there are 66 parcels under appeal. We are challenging the valuation as well as the classification. On the valuation, I did not come with any evidence today, and there are two reasons for that. One, we weren't able to get an appraiser engaged in time. We've got Mr. Hayden Harrison engaged now, and if we need to go to the State Tax Commission, hopefully he'll have an appraisal for us. Number two is that for all but six of these parcels, the burden of proof is not on the taxpayer. In 2020, the legislature amended section 138.060, and it now says that there's no presumption in favor of the assessor's valuation. It also says that for any property whose assessed valuation increased at least 15% from the previous assessment, unless the increase is due to new construction or improvement, the assessor shall have the burden to prove that the assessor's valuation does not exceed the true market value of the subject property. So I would argue that it is the assessor's burden today as to those 60 parcels to demonstrate that their value does not exceed true market value. And if they're not prepared to do that, I would suggest that the appraised value for all 60 of those parcels be rolled back to the 2020 valuation.
So in that regard, and we went through, I have it right here, and we have it highlighted, and we've been studying it like it was gospel here. So it's our understanding that the 15%, and it's based off of a subsection of that same 138-60, which basically is in regards to residential. Are the 60 parcels that you're speaking of residential?
Well, okay, so the section you're talking about has to do with physical inspections. For that, it's Class 1 residential property. But with respect to the shifting of the burden of proof, that applies no matter what the classification is.
I understand. But you were talking about, he was talking about the application, but we, as you might imagine, have had many, many of these at this point. I think most of the timeshare properties have been worked through that you guys have not. Have you guys talked to the assessor at all?
We tried.
Well,
okay, but
shortly.
If you can't reach them, that's fine if you can't reach it.
I did ask because I said we were working with everybody, but they declined to work with us. They wanted to come to this. So
okay, and that's fine. We were just encouraging. They have reached agreements with most of those because timeshare. I'm a former general counsel of a company down here that was a timeshare company. So they are a unique animal. They had this same thing, some of this same thing come up under Strahan about 2009, maybe 2000, somewhere in there. And I got to sit where you are as far as trying to argue, and they came to, and eventually came to some sort of conclusion. But I just didn't know, are you looking, are you arguing on these cases that none of them should be classified as commercial, or is there some middle ground there that you're looking for? What are you trying to do?
We're not arguing that none of them should be commercial. The statute is crystal clear. The plain language says that a timeshare is residential except to the extent it is actually rented.
Right.
We have given the board the actual rental numbers that could be applied across the board to each parcel to apportion it between residential and commercial. And those percentages range from 6.18% to, I think, 11.5%.
And that the statute that you're talking about, the actual, is that, when did that come into play?
2012,
okay. And what is that?
So in 2012, in order to avoid exactly what happened in this situation, the legislature took the definition of residential property, which I'm not going to read the whole thing, but they added to it timeshare units as defined in section 407.600, except to the extent such units are actually rented and subject to sales tax.
What is the?
Oh, it's 137.016.
So that's the same one that carves out the bed and breakfast.
Right.
Yeah, we know that.
And what I believe the assessor is doing is going beyond that to the second part, which is the transient housing exemption. where it says, but residential property shall not include other similar facilities used primarily for transient housing. In transient housing, you look at availability of rooms for rent. You don't look at actual rentals. The problem is everything after that comma and the word but, that doesn't apply to timeshares, doesn't apply to golf courses, doesn't apply to vacant land at airports. It doesn't apply to anything before the comma. It applies to other similar facilities, as in facilities similar to timeshares, but not timeshares.
We've heard a lot about these commas and buts.
But really, that's the only argument I have to make. The plain language of the statute is clear. You have to look at actual rentals. It's inconvenient, I'll admit, for the assessor's office. And it opens up the opportunity for people to be dishonest.
What section is are we talking about?
We're talking about 137.016.1, parentheses 1.
One parentheses 1.
And I think that's the reason the assessor's office doesn't want to do it as it has been done in the past in accordance with the statute is because, well, and I'll let the assessor speak to that.
In a second. Are you finished?
Yes.
Okay. You want to speak to that?
Okay. As you know, we were trying to get a handle on all of the timeshares. I know, too, that a great deal of it is residential. I've read the statutes myself. The difficulty was finding the person in charge of your timeshare that can make the decisions. And on everybody except for you guys and except for Holiday Hills, we were able to get through to somebody who could make a decision, and we worked with them. Finally here yesterday, we spent a couple hours on a Zoom call with the person who's able to make decisions for Holiday Hills, and we straightened it all out. It was done. Again, we would be happy to, and I told you that on the phone when we spoke. We just needed to figure out which of these you wanted to make commercial, and because we're not doing one building at a time, this. We're wanting to take, because our office actually is supposed to be, as you pointed out, physically out there, looking at your property, measuring your property, taking pictures of all of it. And we can't do that if we're going over each of your room reservations for each of your units. That's what I'm trying to point out. And I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm just trying to say, our capabilities are being outstripped by this kind of extra job that was never intended by anybody in a legislature or anybody with the state tax commission. They never expected the assessor to become a room reservationist. Well, do you see?
I think it was intended because this amendment was actually pushed through by ARTA, the Timeshare Association.
So I'm having trouble. If this has been established that timeshare are residential, if that's an established thing, and whether it's whoever, Westgate or Holiday Hills or Blue Green or whoever, why are we even looking at it to make it commercial if it's already established through this that it's residential?
It says accepted. Go ahead.
Because when they made this little carve-out for the nightly rental people, it was before the days where they were renting out all the rooms that they're doing now. Now they're basically doing a whole section that's a motel because they have the amenities and everything, and they have people not showing, so they're finding a way to make extra money. But before, when they were writing that, they didn't have the big explosion of nightly rentals. When people went on vacation, they were calling a motel. There was no VRBO, Airbnb. They didn't know to call, you know, the main desk at the timeshare.
Okay.
Well,
I'm going to say, I see the argument that you're making, and that's not one that, because all the other ones have been worked out, we haven't looked at this before, so I have not tried to digest this carve-out that you're talking about. 2012 was actually the year that I left Green Brown, and now they've been absorbed by capital and all kinds of stuff. But I'm going to suggest one, and I know you don't have to come back worrying. Are you all the way from Florida?
Springfield.
That's right, you're Lowther.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to suggest one thing, and that is to table this until Friday. And the reason I'm going to ask is twofold. One is I want to be able to digest this. And secondly is, up to this point, and you guys probably didn't know this beforehand, but I think that if there is somebody that, you know, see if they can get to an agreement on that. If you're saying no, they're not going to, we'll just make our decision based on your argument. But if there is some way in the next couple of days for the person at your client to be able to work with those, because they have been able to work it out so that some portion is a mixed, almost a mixed use type of portion on it, then I...
Because the others have been in agreement that they are collecting state sales tax, which no longer makes them a timeshare on the things they collect.
I can see this being carved out for individual owners who are trying to. So anyway, you guys can. That's up to you.
And that's one of the problems is that they're not assessed to individual owners.
Right.
You'd have a million different individual owners in here.
Sure, you got 52 owners in a room.
Yeah.
And if one puts it in, yeah, I remember all this fun.
I mean, I'm okay with tabling it, but I mean, I'm just, if that's in the statute, again, why?
Are these nightly rentals or are these timeshares?
They're timeshares.
Okay.
And the statute clarifies.
But they're using it for nightly rental.
On a minor basis is what it seems like. I mean, 6%?
Huh? We've submitted the actual figures of rentals based on number of keys.
But
it's not based on rooms because they can partition off a room and have two different keys and rent both of them.
That's why the other places like Holiday Hills, they are also like 6%. And so they set aside 6 to 8 buildings, whatever we changed over. That's what they're going to keep commercial. And that's the 6% of all the rooms they have.
You see what she's saying? In other words, you're giving these numbers and they're using those numbers on those percentages. They're just carving out, so to make this easier instead of they're carving out a portion of the property that is commercial on that, which seems to be reasonable if it's based on your occupancy rate.
And I'll be honest with you, I think that is reasonable, and hopefully can we still talk about this? Because I was under the impression that when you closed your books on the 30th that you weren't...
You guys can still come to an agreement that we can agree upon here today or Friday if we table it. So that was just... Anyway, it may not work out. We may still make another decision, but I think that they are trying to use your actual numbers to carve out what part is commercial.
Okay.
And that's different than the other big issue we're dealing with, which is nightly rental for people that own individual homes in Taney County, which doesn't have a carve out like this.
Right.
So anyway, I would vote to table if you want to have any more discussion, that's fine.
And
Friday?
Well, let's...
Well, maybe tomorrow.
Okay. So...
We can make an agreement for this year, but then for next year, because every 2 years... But I'm locked out at this moment. But then what we would do is, for next year, we'll turn that certain building to commercial, and the rest will stay residential. Do you see what I'm saying? And then we don't have to mess with this every time.
Anyway, do you think between now and, say, tomorrow afternoon that maybe you guys, your client, or you can talk?
I will try my best. I try to keep my nose out of it since I don't know jack about timeshares.
Fair enough.
I'll be honest about that.
Okay,
but I will try to get them in touch with the assessor.
We have found that the assessor has been tried to be workable on these. And, yes, her books are closed, but basically the agreement would come up where she's looking at it, present those numbers. We either get an email in that regard or give you a call and say, hey, these are the numbers. Are you in agreement with this? So, which hopefully that had already been worked out. It's not a hit on the assessor's office if they do come before the BOE. If you could do that, that would be much simpler because it sounds like there's some consensus in some regard.
Would there be the ability to table it for longer than Friday to give us more time to get that done? Or?
You know, we need to do is.
You do have one appointment for the 27th.
So you guys, the clerk's office has some type of training here next week, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the 20s.
So you won't be swept under the bus if we make a decision.